Good morning. It's good to see you. One of those rare occasions when you plan a sermon and the preacher in the gospel meeting preaches part of it before you get to. So we had a good study the other night with Brother Stan on verse 16 of this passage. But really, our study that we've designed today is the prior two verses. So in just a moment, we'll turn our attention to it. Of course, we welcome everyone today, as we do have a great and lovely day outside. We're thankful for that, but especially to be able to assemble together as God's people and to honor Him, to worship Him, and to give Him the praise and adoration, the worship that He is due. And so I encourage you to give full attention to God this morning. As we read the Scriptures, let us remember that we're reading the Word of God, not the Word of men. That as we contemplate our position before these Scriptures and whether or not we are following these Scriptures, understand that that means and whether or not we're following God. And the call of the gospel is that we follow God. That we, in the decisions we make, the attitudes that we have in our lives, the words that we speak, the things that we do, give honor and glory to Him. And that is seen and reflected in this particular passage. So that if you're not a member of His church, then we implore you today to obey His gospel. Allow Jesus to add you to His church. You do that when in faith you will confess that He's the Christ and the Lord. If you will make a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ today and repent of your sins against Him. Because we've all sinned and God calls us all to repent. If you will do that today, based upon that acknowledgement of faith and confession and repentance of your sin, we'll baptize you today into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away and He will add you to His church. The focus of our study this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, you are not saved. You're lost. You're not in His church, even though you're sitting in a building where the Church of Christ meets. This building is not the Church of Christ. It's the people that meet here that forms the Church of Christ in this place. Jesus built His church, Matthew 16:18. He said, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We sang about it just now. The rousing song, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." We are marching to war. We have a foe. And that foe wants to destroy you, your soul and mine. Wants you to not follow Jesus, but follow anything else except Him. And our foe is crafty. He is sly. He is deceptive. He's good at what he does. But greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And so we will not be faint-hearted. We will not lose our faith. We will be strengthened and resolved, as this verse calls upon us to do, to so behave in the house of God to bring glory and honor to God. Notice with me in the passage, the church of which Paul writes, and of how we're to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The church is a part of God's eternal purpose. God's eternal plan is to save sinners. Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11 says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." If there is anyone on the earth or in the heavens who believed that God's eternal purpose would not be executed and fulfilled, the church forever answers that issue. The church shows the many-sided aspect of God's wisdom. Like the facets of a diamond, God's wisdom goes out in every direction. And the church, these souls of sinners, you and me,
lost, dead, lifeless, have been brought to life to live with God now and live with Him eternally. The church is at the heart of God's eternal purpose, as Tyler read in Galatians, or in Genesis 3 and verse 16. The seed of woman who would crush the head of the seed of at the head of the serpent. God's eternal plan was not for you to remain in your sin. Was not for the world to remain in its sin, but to have redemption. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to become a Christian? Are you going to be a faithful Christian in your life? Or are you going to just give lip service to Jesus? You see, Paul tells Timothy, I'm going to write to you about how people ought to behave themselves in the house of God. That's not lip service. Look at that. He says, I'm writing to you, hoping to come to you shortly. I'm writing some things. And remember, when Paul wrote, he wrote the commandments of the Lord. He wrote the Word of God. I'm writing so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. So Timothy needed to know how to act. You need to know how to act. I need to know how to act as members of the house of God. Scripture reveals that to us. And it reveals it to us not so that we can glory in ourselves, but so that God can be glorified. To Him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:21. Now, when we talk about the church, you see up here, we're not talking about some institutional organism, some hierarchy, some ecclesiastical institution. We're talking about the saved people. Talking about you and me. Those that the Lord saves, He adds to His church. That's why, you see, if you're not in His church, you're not saved. Because He saves, He's the Savior of the body, and the body is His church. And it's the fullness of Him. There's no part of Jesus outside His body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. That's why you need to obey the gospel. You need to be saved so the Lord will add you to His church. But then every one of us in His church need to know how to act. We need to know how to live so that we can glorify God. So that He can be honored. Now, our verse says, so that you, Timothy, need to know that you know how to act in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Think with me a minute. He says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. A pillar is a prop or a support. It holds the weight. It bears the weight, right? It supports the weight of a building. Pillars do. Just as pillars support the weight of a building, the church bears the responsibility to maintain the doctrines of the faith, the truth. We need to support the truth. We do that by preaching the Word. Ephesians 4:11, Christ gave some to be apostles and prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the church is the pillar of the truth as we preach the Word. Timothy, you need to be preaching the Word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul directly tells Timothy, preach the Word. This is one way you conduct yourself in the house of God to support, to hold up the truth of God. We've got to keep preaching the truth. We've got to keep teaching the truth. We've got to contend for the faith, Jude 3 says. Onward, Christian soldier. Thank you, Sam, for leading that song. That just fits perfectly with this lesson. Onward. He didn't say, the song does not say, because the Scriptures don't merely say, onward, preacher, onward, elders, onward, deacons, and we'll sit back and you go right ahead. You do a good job. Onward, Christian. Are you going onward? Are you pressing forward? Or have you become stagnant? Still? Are your feet in concrete, in cement? not moving, spiritually speaking. Well, you say, well, I don't know. Pillar's supposed to be in concrete, right? It's supposed to give it support. That's not the point, is it? You see, we hold up the truth when we're not just teaching it, but we're living it. We've got to be active. We've got to be pressing forward. Look at Philippians 3, 14 through 16 in that respect. Philippians 3, 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this mind. That if is and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to that degree to which you've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Walk by the same rule. What rule? Well, the rule of truth. God, grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, teaching us with truth, to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is how the church supports the truth, by living the truth. The way you support the truth and give evidence that you are committed to the truth is by living the truth. We have to live it. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've got to abide in his word. That means live in it. Live by it. Be the support of it. That's what the church does. And you see, when the church stops preaching the truth and living the truth, it stops conducting itself as the church of God. It stops being what God wants it to be. Now, secondly, he uses the word ground. Ground the truth. That's the foundation. That's the mainstay. That's the bulwark. To provide stability and firmness, steadfastness, immovability. We want a good foundation whenever we build a building. He says the church is the mainstay. It's the foundation that gives stability. So Timothy, you conduct yourself in the church in a way that you enhance, that you promote, that you are a part of this grounding, this stability, this strength and foundation for the truth of God. In Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1:23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith. Now again, we can't be a foundation. The church cannot be this ground of the truth if we don't live it. And so he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which is preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, as you continue in the faith, that is the truth, that is the gospel. He said, you are steadfast, you are grounded and steadfast. See, that's what the church does, to be grounded and steadfast. Now, the elders of a local church, in Acts 20, and so, even so it's to be today, the elders of a local church are to be feeding that local church with the Word of God, and look, it is to accomplish this very purpose of being grounded in truth. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, Acts 20 and 28. Take heed to yourself and all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, remember, Paul is now speaking this to elders he had been with for over 3 years in Ephesus. And now he's saying, you elders, you shepherd, you tend, you feed the church of God that he purchased. It's not your church, it's his church. He died for it, he purchased it, but he's given you this work, he said now. And the reason is, there are going to be people coming in, Paul calls them wolves, and they won't spare the flock. They'll devour the flock. From among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things. And eldership is not immune. From among themselves, someone would rise up, to draw away the disciples after themselves. So from without and from within, there are dangers where error comes, where the church no longer is the pillar and ground of the truth. So what's the answer? Well, feed the church, verse 28, so we can grow in the truth, so we can be strong in the truth. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Commend you to the truth. God and the word of His grace. That's the truth. The truth of the gospel. We need to hear the truth so we can take it into our hearts. That's how we eat it. That's how we're fed it. When we're not being taught and we're not learning, then we're not being fed. And we're not growing. We're not getting strong. Getting weak. Church, if we're going to behave ourselves in the church as the pillar and ground of the truth, don't you think we have a part to play in its stability? Every one of us? Every one of us has a part to play in supporting the truth and in the stability of the truth in our own lives. Onward, Christian soldier. You see, the truth he's talking about is not the truth of convenience. Truth of convenience does not strengthen the church. The truth of self-esteem does not strengthen the church. The gospel of social reform and community improvement doesn't strengthen the house of God as a pillar and ground of the truth. Youth activities and social events do not constitute the work of the church that strengthens it in being steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul didn't tell the elders, now the way you prevent danger from outside and from within is to build a great youth program. Set up a great counseling activity, counseling service. Didn't say any of that. He said, feed the Word of God. Watch. Behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Behave yourself in faith, in godliness, and in truth. Now, why do we do that? We do it because of the nature of truth. Because of what truth is and what it accomplishes. Truth is under attack. In the church and out of the church, truth is under attack. And we will either be the soldiers with the banner of Christ before us, going to do the good warfare, fight the good fight of faith, or we will yield to the enemy, be trampled, and be destroyed. It really is just that simple, one or the other. So how are you doing in your life with truth? You see, that's where it comes to. That we're not talking about some institutional hierarchy that's going to define and decide truth for us out here called the church. We're talking about God's people. Christians. And what truth does in our lives. How it affects the choices and lives we live. What kind of relationship do you have with the truth this morning? What is your relationship with the truth? That's an important question. Do you tolerate it? I hope that preacher hurry up and finishes. Do you adore it? Do you hunger for it? Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is your relationship to truth? Jesus said, it's the very nature of truth that compels us. By His apostles, He says, it's the very nature of truth that compels us as His church to support it and to defend it. You see, it's from God. When people don't want to think about God in their lives, they surely don't want to think about a word that comes from Him. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, though, the apostle said, "For this reason we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." God's word will work in you when you allow it to, when you believe it, when you trust it. Because it's not the word of men, it's the word of God. The Almighty who created heaven and earth, who sustains our lives to this very moment. He has spoken. Sanctify them. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Do you have a sanctifying relationship with truth? All that means is, do you let the word of truth define your choices so that you will be holy before God? Why do we support and defend the truth? Because it's inspired by God. It came from Him. It can come from us. Because it's profitable for everything that we need to be right with God and to serve Him in this life. 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's beneficial. It has a purpose that it accomplishes. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. You want to do a job, you need tools to accomplish the job. And you need to know how to use the tools. I mean, I could call myself a barber. I could buy blades and scissors and what do you call them? Buzzers? Trimmers, whatever. I can buy all that and I can put a pole out there and say I'm a barber, but I don't know how to use them and I wouldn't do very well, would I? We can call ourselves a church. We can call ourselves Christians. But if we're not living it, who are we fooling? We're not fooling God. We're not fooling the devil. We're fooling ourselves. And we're not fooling the world. We're fooling ourselves. You ever think about that? You're not fooling the devil when you're trying to fool people about being a Christian. You're not fooling the God either. So, use the Word of God. It will profit you. It'll thoroughly equip you. But you got to want to be equipped. And you got to want to do the work. You got to want to live the life. You got to want to support and defend the truth. Church supports and defends the truth because it is powerful. God's Word is powerful. It penetrates a heart that has been overwhelmed with sin. It has that power. The Word of God is sharper, living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, even to the dividing of joints and marrow. Quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So is it dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. God's sword, God's word, God's truth is sharper than the blades that men make. Because you see, when men have blades, they cut the heart and people die. But when God's blade is applied, it cuts the heart and brings life. They were cut to the heart when they knew they had murdered the Son of God. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they said, "Repent and be baptized and you'll have remission of sins." Now, the question is, do you have the faith to believe it? And then do it. And support that truth because of its power. You see, the word of faith which we preach is the hearing that we must have from God that produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We preach the Word of faith so that we can have faith created so that we will be saved from our sins. I'm not ashamed of the Gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Why do we support it? The truth? Because of its power. change lives, to save the lost, to secure a home of in heaven. Nothing else has that power. Nothing. Not my word, not your word, not the word of the geniuses on this earth, the wisest of the wise on this earth. The power is in the Word of God. We defend and support the truth because it establishes daily living for us. It establishes how we ought to live. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted and grounded in Christ. How? By being established in the faith. Secured in the word of the faith, the gospel that you were taught, you see. So it's through the teaching and the hearing of the Word of God that faith is established, and that then directs how we live every day. That's why we support it. That's why we defend it, because we are assured that it is the best way to live. That it is the life that brings blessings from God. Blessings that are not often seen with the naked eye, but with the eyes of faith. As well as blessings you can see. I see blessings this morning when I open my eyes. Will you open your eyes this morning and see blessings among us? Blessings. Those are from God in His church, His family, His house. That's why we support and defend the truth, as it enlivens our hope of glory. Colossians 1, 3 through 5. Colossians 1, 3 through 5 says that we heard of your faith, we heard of your love, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard about the hope that we have in heaven. The gospel tells us about heaven. Truth helps us seize that hope. An anchor of the soul. When the storms of life blow and beat and pound, we are anchored, secured. Secured with our hope in Christ Jesus. The promises of God that will surely be fulfilled. We support and defend the truth because by it we are protected against sin. Your word I've laid up in my heart. The psalmist said that I might not sin against you. That's how shall a young man secure his way? By giving heed thereto according to his word, to your word, God's word. God's word protects us. That's why we support it and defend it against our adversary, the devil. So you see, brethren, when a church refuses to defend and support the truth, when it moves in, it will invariably, when it fails to support and defend the truth, it will invariably move into areas of unauthorized teaching and unauthorized work. And it will lose its identity as a New Testament church. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, that the Spirit says expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, note this is within the immediate context of teaching Timothy how to conduct himself in the house of God. And yet, there'll be some who will depart from the faith. So if I'm going to conduct myself like Timothy was to conduct himself in the house of God to give glory to God, I must be careful not to depart from the faith. Because to depart from the faith is to lose my identity. And any time a local church fails to support and defend the truth, it will lose its identity. You see? Just as the individual Christian can depart from the faith, a local church can depart from the faith, can depart from truth. And so, the warning is given in Revelation 2, where we'll close our study this morning. In Revelation 2, remember, there's the church in Pergamos who had compromised with the doctrine of Balaam
and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. There was moral and religious, moral and doctrinal compromise in that church. Jesus knew it. And Jesus said, unless you repent, I'm going to come quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Now see, He wants us to fight against compromises in morality and compromises in doctrine. Fight against them with the sword of the Spirit, with the truth. Support and defend that truth so that He doesn't come with that same truth and defeat us. Judge us and bring us into condemnation because of our sin against Him. Choice becomes ours. A local church, you see, like Ephesus. Jesus said, I have this against you. You've left your first love. So repent and do the first works. Or else I come quickly and will remove your lampstand from its place. You'll lose your identity as belonging to me. You may still wear the name outside. You may still say you're mine. But if you don't repent and come back and serve your first love, then you're not going to belong to me anymore. That's why we defend and support the truth. We want to be identified with Jesus as Christians, individual saints, and as a local church. We will defend and support the truth so that God will be glorified, so that we will, as we conduct ourselves as He expects us to, being the pillar and the ground of the truth, supporting it, strengthened and stabilized in it and by it, teaching it, preaching it, living the truth. So we close by asking again the question, what is your relationship to truth this morning? If you're not a Christian, you need to establish a truth, a relationship with truth. You need to put your faith in Jesus and repent and be baptized to be saved. And then live in His truth. That's the call of the gospel. That's where the blessings come now and eternally. Because Jesus will add you to His church. And you can live a new life. Free from sin. We urge you as a Christian. That if you become negligent and apathetic. And unfaithful to Jesus. Come back to Him in truth. Behave yourself in the house of God as He wants you to behave. Honor Him, not yourself. Honor Him by a faithful life. We can help you do that and pray with you about that. We can urge you to repent of those sins as a Christian. We want to assist you now. Won't you come while you stand and sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you.